This is the Goalkeepers Union Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Goalkeepers Union Podcast. Between the Sticks, me, Matt Beadle, here with the busy voice of goalkeeping, Richard Lee.
Manic, Matthew, manic this week.
It's a really basic voice of goalkeeping, that, isn't it? Busy, because you're technically busy every week, but there is a reason as to why you wanted to be busy this week.
It's busy because, as I think most people know now, I am based in Dubai, and this is the week, international break. Not only is it an international break, but it's the third international break. And also, this is the time it feels that so many footballers come to Dubai. So this is very much Footballer Week in Dubai. So I won't name names because I don't think that's fair, but there are a lot of players over here this week. So it'll be lots of entertaining. Is that the word? Or
yeah, I was going to say, what's on the schedule?
So in terms of schedule, there will be a bit of golf, which I'm looking forward to because I actually haven't played much at all, obviously with the window in the summer being so busy and with the weather just being ridiculous until about the last month or so. But now it is that kind of perfect time where the weather's around the 30 degree mark. And I feel like I want to bring this up now because I know that it is quite cold in England. But yeah, it's around the 30 degree mark. So it will be a little bit of golf. There'll be several coffees, no doubt, maybe a couple of dinners. So it's a fun week. It's not a difficult week. I'm not going to make out as if, you know, I'm really snowed under over here because I'm the exact opposite of that. But yes, a very busy week.
Blue skies here, mate, I'll have you know. Lovely, clear and crisp. Yeah, a beautiful November morning.
Okay, you're not winning me over, but maybe you're winning the listeners over.
I'm with the show.
Let's do it.
We'll start at Anfield in the Premier League. Richard, Liverpool 2, Aston Villa 0. And we'll begin with Queevin Kelleher. So two big saves to keep Liverpool in the game in the first half. They turned out to be crucial.
Big saves and very crucial, as you mentioned. And again, it feels like, you know, we talk about Kelleher so much, you know, and we'll always kind of have a very similar conversation in terms of like, surely he needs to be a number one, should be a number one. And I've just got to give him credit because every time he steps in, he has got such a calm manner about him and does produce big saves when needed. Seems to have that ability, the mentality that when those big moments come, he makes good decisions. And these are both really difficult saves, both similar in certain ways, in that it's a corner coming in. The positioning, certainly with the first one that he tips over, just to take the position he did, he's in the perfect position. And even the way he sets himself, you know, we talk about this a lot on the pod in terms of some goalkeepers might set a bit lower. But again, it can depend on the type of ball you're about to face. Now, this is a really good example for young goalkeepers, I think, where it is a header that's coming in from close range, where you can see he's very upright, his hands are quite high. And I think that's the reason he's able to get his hands up so quickly and get the hand over the bar. And I thought the next save was just as good, if not better, in that they're so horrible to deal with when you know you can't come, but there is a part of you that almost wants to try and get involved. But again, he's held his position so well. The speed of reactions to get his hand out to the right, but not only that, to actually get a really big parry on this and get away from danger, I thought it was a top save. And as you say, another big win for Liverpool and certainly another tick against his name.
It is one of those, isn't it, where you don't really know what more you can say on Queevin Kelleher. And actually, the Premier League coverage in this pod is going to be going over some of old ground, I suppose, that we've gone over in the past. But he's come in and been very, very good. And I think Liverpool have lost the game. I mean, that's not anything major because Liverpool probably wouldn't have lost the game anyway if Alisson had been in. But they have such a bizarre situation here where they do technically have two number ones, but you have an outright number one still in Alisson. So when Alisson becomes fit again, you'd imagine he would slip straight back into that starting lineup. You had the situation over at Bournemouth too, where Mark Travers came in for the two games. Three games he's played this season. It's Chelsea, it's Villa and it's City. He's beaten City, he's drawn with Villa and he's lost narrowly to Chelsea but acquitted himself well in all three games. But Kepa's fit again at the weekend and he comes in for the game at Brentford. So you've got these two very interesting scenarios. Slightly different for Kelleher and Alisson because we know about it. It's an established scenario. But for Travers as well, I think it's quite telling that he wasn't involved at the weekend.
Yeah, well, I think it's that whole debate of when the two becomes the number one. And it's quite rare, you know, it's quite rare that a two in the Premier League will become the one and become the outright one. And it takes time before they're seen in that position. And I think Kelleher, you'd love to think that at some point, and the problem Kelleher's had is that Alisson has been so consistent over the years, and you know what you're going to get. Doesn't seem to have been a dip in performance at all over the years. So it makes it a really tough situation for him. But you almost feel from Kelleher's point of view, you just hope it opens up soon, because the problem that he might have, at some point he might move to another Premier League club, but we know how it plays out. Ordinarily, that won't be maybe one of the elite Premier League clubs. It will be that a bit lower down. As we've seen this summer, Aaron Ramsdale possibly being an example, and this is someone who's played a lot of games for Arsenal, has had to move that bit lower in the Premier League in order to get game time. And it's very rare that you then see those goalkeepers jump back up to the elite club. So you just kind of hope at some point it opens up, he becomes that one, he gets trusted as being the number one, and he's then able to have 7, 8, 10 years, whatever it might be, in that position, which no doubt, you know, if he were given that opportunity, I'm sure he'd take it. But it's, yeah, we see it over and over. How often does it happen that it might be Kelleher moving on? And whenever Alisson does retire, they will then go and spend big in the market and go and bring someone else in, where you do just feel you've got the ready replacement there, and he shows it over and over. But so rare you see the two become the one.
Yeah, well, Q, Mamardashvili, who will be coming in, of course, won't he? And they spent good money on him. Just to finish on that game, actually, I wanted to get your opinion on the first goal scored by Darwin Núñez. And whether, because in my opinion, I felt like Emi Martinez just went to ground a fraction too early after Núñez had rounded him. What did you think?
Now, do you know what? I've watched this a few times, and I think given how the goal goes in, I can appreciate how you'd look at it and think, oh, do you know what, if you just stayed on your feet a bit longer, you'd have been able to react to make the save. I think in this situation, when someone rounds you, he actually does really well. He's quite quick to his left in order to make it as difficult as he has. Like, how often do you see it where a player goes around a goalkeeper and effectively rolls it into an empty net? Now, in this situation, Martinez has actually been very quick to his left, which has given him the chance of making the save. And then you've got that split second when the shot's about to be taken and you've got a decision. Does he stay on his feet at that moment? Or, in what Martinez ended up doing, he's predicted that Núñez is going to try and roll it along the floor into that corner. Now, ordinarily, I would agree with Martinez here, and I'd probably do exactly the same thing, because I bet 9 times out of 10, you're not going to have a player look to put it into the roof of the net at that position. They will just roll it, you know, and make sure they hit the target and try and hit it with a bit of pace so it goes in. If he does that, Martinez makes a save. So I'd actually argue that on percentages, I think Martinez has done the right thing. I do just think it's an excellent finish, like to have the awareness in that moment that Martinez has done very well to get to the position he has, and to lift it over him, kind of, whether he's even thought about this in that moment, predicting that Martinez is going to dive and try and cover as much of the goal as he can. If he's done that and thought about that, then it is an unbelievable finish. Because I think, yeah, 9 times out of 10, if he goes low, Martinez would have saved it, given what he did.
I don't think that Núñez has got that in his locker to be contemplating that in that short moment of time and thinking, he's going to go to ground, I'm going to lift it. I think he's just hit it. And he's connected well, it's a good strike, but I don't think he's thought, Martinez is going to go to ground, I'm going to lift it over him.
Yeah, I'd probably agree. And in the end, obviously, it was unfortunate for Martinez that where he has placed it, yeah, unfortunately, Martinez, to an extent, I think most goalkeepers in that position, there is a little bit of guesswork involved. You are trying to predict. You can't really react from that distance as to what they're going to do. So you've got to make a choice. You either stand and try and react, but if he rolls it, it beats you, or, yeah, like Martinez did, you try and cover as much of the goal, maybe go low, and unfortunately, in this case, it went high.
Crystal Palace 0, Fulham 2. Quick word on Dean Henderson. He's making a habit of these head saves. I think that's 2 in successive weeks.
Yeah, it's funny how these come along where you know, ball doesn't hit you in the face for quite some time, and then it does just feel like several come at once. But it's another excellent save. And I think maybe there is part of it in terms of how goalkeepers choose to use the spread technique, and Dean Henderson does come out very big, and he's very brave in terms of how he spreads, and so he will likely get more shots to the face than maybe other goalkeepers that come out with slightly different techniques. But it is a top save again, and you could see it rocked him, you know, and can't be easy to get up after having one as hard in the face. But again, key save.
Chelsea 1, Arsenal 1. Now, I said that we were going to be going over some old ground in this podcast, and I'm mindful that this is becoming very similar week after week on Robert Sanchez and the narrative against Robert Sanchez. You watched the game. Let's not go into too much detail, I guess, with it, but your thoughts on Sanchez's performance, the goal scored by Gabriel Martinelli, and the general reaction again from certain pundits towards the Spaniard.
Yeah. Just look, it's just really frustrating me. It was interesting. We were texting during the game because I was watching it on beIN Sports, so a completely different commentary team, and they were pretty positive to Martinez throughout the game. Obviously made a big save first half, big save towards the end, which was it offside in the end? I can't think, but you know, huge save towards the end. I thought distribution on the whole was very good, looked bright. And on the goal, it's one of those situations, you know, we talk a lot about near post and a lot of goalkeepers have had their say. Again, he's taken up a position where, yes, he's left the gap at the near post, but again, he's sort of trying to cover the fact that it could be a pullback. He's taken up quite a true position. Now, look, can this be saved? Yes, of course it can. And I think different goalkeepers that maybe go a bit tighter to the near, of course, make this save. So it is one that he'll be disappointed with. But then, I don't know, I guess where we're goalkeeping purists, we look at his performance on the whole, you know, and I'll be giving that a 7 out of 10. Whereas again, I'm looking at, you know, I get all the Google alerts through and I see all the different reports and they're all giving him 3s out of 10 again. And it just frustrates me because I think that it's very easy for these outfield commentators to just look at individual moments. And look, Robert Sanchez has made several errors this season, but again, I don't want to repeat what I said last week. The amount of positive stuff that he's doing in a game by being so proactive, and there was a couple more moments in this game where he is starting so high and he's taking things that most goalkeepers don't take and he's cutting things out of source. On the whole, he's having a decent season. But if you were to ask any, I suppose, regular fan or any outfield pundit, if you asked them who's been the worst goalkeeper in the Premier League this season, they're going to say his name. Yet a lot of the stats, again, how much we buy into stats, but a lot of the goalkeeping people out there will probably say that he's top 6, top 8 in terms of his general performance. So yeah, I'm just finding it really frustrating to watch. And it's nice that I can thankfully watch the games on beIN Sports over here so I don't have to listen to them anymore. But of course, you send them through to me and it just gets me all riled up.
Okay, we'll stop the riling and finish at the London Stadium, West Ham 0, Everton 0, and save of the weekend contender, Jordan Pickford, in injury time, saving brilliantly from Danny Ings.
Yeah, he did, and this was a top save. This was, for me, classic Pickford, this was. And again, we talk about Jordan Pickford, and he does have this ability in the big moments. He just looks so powerful, and it's almost like he knows this is an opportunity, you know, back end of the game, to make that big save, and he's so explosive. The speed at which he gets up to his right, you know, he has got so much power anyway. And again, it's a save that is a very, very difficult save to make. Not many goalkeepers have got this explosive power and the speed of reactions, but yeah, brilliant save. And it's so nice to see it when it is back end of the game and you genuinely save your team a point. No doubt he was getting plenty of love afterwards.
It is the EFL overview, starting in the Championship, where Spawny goal of the week was at Leeds. They beat QPR 2-0, but the opener from Jaden Bogiel was, crikey, Shanksville all over the gaff. It's like missed kick city out three times over. Good game in a good season for Ainsley Pears. Actually, Blackburn won 3-1 at Cardiff, who did score a penalty to close the gap at 2-1. It was a penalty, however, that was initially saved by Pears. He's doing well. David Turnbull knocking in the rebound. You hate to see those, but a good performance again from Pears. Lawrence Vigouroux back to his former club Burnley with Swansea. Incredible late save from a corner in this one. It was CJ Egan Riley who flicked it on, but the reactions from Vigouroux were very, very decent indeed. They were undone, however, by a cruel 94th minute penalty from Jay Rodriguez. A huge win for Middlesbrough at home to Luton. Senny Dieng in the groove here. So you see this sometimes. It was sidewinder city for Dieng. Sometimes you can just see it when a goalkeeper is really up for it and full of confidence. Dan Grimshaw was nearly caught out at Pride Park. Jerry Yates trying his luck from inside his own half. He'd scored a brilliant goal in the first half, Yates, and then tried the absolute spectacular, the audacious, in the second half. But Grimshaw managed to backpedal to ensure that Plymouth took a point from Derby. Nicholas Schmidt of Portsmouth. So this is the first of, I think, two pen or no pens we've got on this podcast, Richard. He appeared to have upended Emil Reese of Preston, but no foul given. Pompey won the game 3-1.
Okay, where do I start? Do I start with pen or no pen? And I know the other one that you're going to throw to me shortly, and they're both very similar. aren't they? Where, do you know the first thing I'll say? I'm going to say no pen, which probably isn't overly surprising. But what I would say is I think he's fortunate in this situation. I think that, yeah, how often do we see it where players come through and maybe they're towards the edge of the box, they're running away from goal, and it's a real difficult one for a goalkeeper where, of course, when you see a ball and you think that you're going to get there first, then you go. You go and you get there first. Similarly, there are situations where maybe a player, it's not massive, massive danger at that moment and they are running away. And my argument would always be, if you can sense at any point it's a 50-50, you try and stop and hold your position as quickly as you can. Because then even if they round him, you know, they're going to be so wide that at that point you've still got some time to backtrack and get yourself back into the goal. Whereas I think this was one of those situations where he maybe made that decision a little bit too late. It was the right decision. And in the end, you know, there probably wasn't a great deal of contact from what I could see given the camera angle. So I think it's the correct decision. But at the same time, you have seen him given. So, yeah, it's one that I think goalkeepers that find themselves in this situation, it's difficult because it happens so quickly and you've got to make that decision so quickly. But if you can sense it's going to be a 50-50 and you're not, you know, a few yards from goal, you are towards the edge of the box, more often than not, the correct decision would be to try and hold and just make yourself as big as you can or make them have to go way round you so that they're not going to score from the resulting touch after going round you. But I'm going to go no pen with this. And in terms of a couple of the other things you mentioned, yeah, Sen Dieng, I mean, he makes this look so easy, this side volley. And for those that haven't seen it, it is that one that is essentially chest height the whole way. You know, it just goes like an arrow. But you need such power to do this because it is going a good 50, 60 yards. You know, I know a lot of goalkeepers, and certainly when I used to try and do it, it's not too bad trying to do it 20, 30 yards. But to actually get that power to do it 50, 60 yards, it's an unbelievable bit of distribution because it can get to your attacking player so quickly. You're not running the risk of it being headed away or the defender jumping over your player and getting headed to it because I just simply can't. So again, if you can have this in your armory, it's a fantastic thing to have, and he's certainly got it in his. Dan Grimshaw, I thought he did really well on this one. Real difficult one, inside his own half, backtracking. You could see he lost his bearings, but what he did importantly was he managed to get a good hand and keep the ball going forward. He actually then clatters with the post. You know, it's right in the top corner. He takes the hit, but it is a very good save given the situation. And lastly, just to mention Lawrence Vigouroux, I thought he was excellent in this game. Really felt for him that they conceded in the last minute, because it's, again, horrible feeling for a goalkeeper when you've had another top game and then you end up losing 1-0. It's that knowledge that a lot of the time it doesn't necessarily get remembered as it might do if it was, say, like the Jordan Pickford save we just mentioned, and you end up winning your team a point. I think if they end up getting a point out of this, a lot will highlight the good work that Lawrence Vigouroux did throughout the game. Brilliant save second half from the flick header, very good save first half to his left as well, and I thought overall he was incredibly solid. It was nice to see him against his old club, obviously against James Trafford, someone he knows, who again was very good. Another clean sheet for him, and a big well done to him as well, seeing that he's been called into the England first team setup.
Yeah, very well done to James Trafford. Just two more in the Championship. So Brad Collins became Coventry's third goalkeeper of the campaign so far. So he was in following the departure of Mark Robins. You see this so often, don't you? They battled back Cov to draw with Sunderland. And finally, Alex Palmer. So I don't know whether he listens to this podcast, and this is said with the best of intentions. I was watching the game on Sunday, so they won West Brom 2-1 at Hull. And it was funny because I was watching it thinking, Palmer's distribution has been on point in this game. And then we hit about 35 minutes, and for a brief 5-minute period, it just seemed like Palmer had a bit of head loss. Absolute head loss. He's kicked one off for a corner, similar to that Petr Cech one that we saw, I think, in his first game, wasn't it, when he came in under Unai Emery and everyone was wondering whether Petr Cech would be able to play out, and he kicked the ball off from a goal kick pretty much. Palmer's done that. He's then attempted a sidewinder, which hasn't worked out, and his defender has absolutely berated him for it, really berated him for it. And then he's absolutely leathered a punch, like really leathered a punch, and got good distance on it, but it just seemed quite erratic and a bit, I don't know, almost a reaction to what had happened before. That's then resulted in a goal being scored and another defender having another go at him, I would imagine, suggesting that maybe he could have caught it. But it just felt like there was a 5-minute period from Palmer where he just slightly lost his head. And it is worth mentioning that he came out in the second half and was very, very good. There was just, yeah, that small 5-minute period.
Yeah. Well, no, I think, like you say, firstly, he's been excellent again this season. Certainly, I think most would consider him among the band of elite goalkeepers in the Championship. Certainly someone that you wouldn't be surprised step up at some point, you know, whether it be next season, season after. I think there's certainly Premier League football in him before he's done. But it was quite interesting to watch. And at the same time, you can kind of explain each of the situations. You know, the first one, it's horrible that, because, you know, I suppose the goalkeepers make it look so easy where they have a good touch, good pass. But of course, if you get that touch ever so slightly wrong, and it's there, and it's almost stuck between both of his feet. You can't really go right foot. He's tried to go left foot to pass it out, but of course it's rolling back towards him ever so slightly. You only need to be an inch off, and it comes off the heel. And like what happened here, it then misses the target, goes out for a corner. The side volley, and we were just talking about Dieng, and you know, it's brilliant technique, and Palmer's very much got this as well. But again, it's such a difficult technique. You know, you're only ever so slightly off, and you can duck hook it or you can sky it into the air. You know, we see that one more often than not, where a goalkeeper goes to a side volley and maybe out of safety gets under it a touch and it ends up going a long way in the air and not necessarily getting the distance. With this, he just ever so slightly duck hooked it, but of course it then goes straight to the opposition player, and naturally your defenders aren't going to be too happy with you. And the punch, I thought it was a brilliant punch, this, to be fair. Like you say, you could see there was potentially some anger in this punch, maybe after what had just happened before. I don't think this is necessarily one to catch, because you can't really see what's in front of you when it's coming from this sort of height. It's dropping from a height, and he's able then to get a really good fist on it. So I actually think this is a really good action. It's just unfortunate. It's a great ball in, great header, no chance for the goal, and it is what it is. But yeah, quite rare that we see a moment like this from Alex Palmer.
Into League One, Josh Keighley will start with really good one-on-one save at 0-0 between Leyton Orient and Blackpool. So Rob Apter was the player denied. Orient going on to win 3-0. Connell Truman back at Crawley on another emergency loan. So a point-blank save from Ben Wiles of Huddersfield. Some really good high claims in this one as well from Truman. That one ended 2-2. And can we talk about Franco Ravizzoli, please? Because two late saves from headers at Wigan. Tyrese Francois was the one really late in the game to effectively win the 3 points. Wickham are yet to lose a game in 12 since he stepped in, and this really is quite a remarkable story for a goalkeeper who, prior to joining Wickham last season, hadn't really featured in any form of English football ever. He'd had a short spell in non-league. He went to MK Dons, played a handful of games there, but was very much a number two. And when the number one was injured, MK looked to bring a loan in. He's gone to Wickham, and his fortunes have, completely changed.
Yeah, they have. No, and yeah, big well done to him. I mean, these are top saves as well. The second one in particular, brilliant save. And we talk about this a lot on the pod. We mentioned it with Jordan Pickford earlier, like that big moment to have the calmness to be so in tune with the game, know that your positioning's correct, like be ready for that moment, and be prepared to be the hero. You know, it's a bit of a psychological thing where how many get those big moments and it just doesn't quite happen for you. But this is certainly one of those moments, and he's made a top save, as you say, one of the points. And it is a lovely story because, yeah, did so well in non-league, kind of made the step up, didn't really break through at MK Dons. Now he's finally got that chance. And you'd love to see someone like that step up again at some point. Because I think it's quite inspiring for, you know, where there's so many stories that are similar in the goalkeeping world, where it might be goalkeepers from Premier League clubs getting loans down and finally making their way to the Premier League, the Championship, whatever it might be. It's very rare that you see a goalkeeper that has come from non-league and finds their way up the levels to, say, the Championship. Very, very rare indeed. But certainly the way that he's looking at the moment, the way that he's playing, he's given himself a chance of that for sure. And you mentioned Keighley there, really pleased for him as well, because, again, this was a deadline day loan. Looked like he was coming in very much as the number two, but again, has been given his chance and certainly looks like he's taking it. And finally, Connell Truman. I watched this game and, again, really impressed with him. You know, hasn't played a lot of football over the last few years and has been at Millwall now, hasn't been able to break through there. So it's never easy to step into situations like this. But it's been a handful of games now that he's had with Crawley. And I have to say, he stepped in and you wouldn't have been able to tell that he's not played for a period of time. And again, you've got to give credit to a goalkeeper in this situation where no doubt the work that he's been doing over the last few years, he's obviously kept his levels of excellence really high. And has really fit in very well, made some key saves in this one. Brilliant aerially. From what we understand, they've continued the emergency loan, so he'll get further chance to show what he can do.
A few more in League One. So Lee Burge with a launcher at St Andrews. Northampton managed to nick a draw against Birmingham. They had their chances too, to be fair. There was one in the first half. John Guthrie found himself in acres of space, but that was well kept out by Ryan Alsop, who, it's worth mentioning, if we're talking about distribution, this on this podcast has been quite exceptional for Birmingham so far this season. But yes, Burge smashing one the entire length of the pitch, pretty much, in the dying embers. It ended up in the equaliser, duly sending Cobblers fans into raptures. MOM and Team of the Week for Murphy Cooper. So back in for Stevenage after being out for two. There were eight saves in total, and he was rapid off his line in the first half to send Harvey Nibbs flying. You love seeing those ones where they come in, get the ball, but see the attacker launched into the air. Really good goalkeeping that. It was one apiece with Reading in the end. Vicente Reyes, Richard, is the other pen or no pen. It didn't really matter because Cambridge were battered by Peterborough 6-1, but he upended Abraham Odo. Was it a pen or was it not a pen?
Yeah, very similar, like I say, to the last example we're speaking of, where towards the corner of the box, and I won't repeat everything I said before, but I do think it's very similar to that. Again, you're giving the referee an opportunity to give it by doing what he did. I'm still going to say no pen. I don't think there's enough contact. And I'm always say it always frustrates me because I feel like pens are often given more often than they should be in these situations. And I feel for goalkeepers where sometimes you've already made the decision that you're not really going for it. But of course, the striker, they've got the ability of like trailing a leg or something and making sure there is contact so that they go down. It looks like a pen. So I'm glad that it wasn't given, but at the same time, without repeating what I said earlier, I think if there is that moment just before where you realise it's going to be a 50-50, can you hold your ground and try and retreat as best you can? And a big well done to Murphy Cooper as well. I thought he was excellent in this game. The save he made down to his left, I mean, he's so powerful. The speed at which he gets down into the bottom corners, and the one that you mentioned where he's quick off his line, this is another really good example where you can cut danger out at the source, where, again, a lot of goalkeepers won't have the speed that he's got. They'll probably then hold their position, which is fine, but of course you're then having to face a shot from 7 or 8 yards. But if you've got the speed, like Murphy does, to be able to get there, make it a 50-50 and hold on to it in the way that he did, I thought this was excellent goalkeeping.
Can we have the goalkeeper's klaxon, please? To Ben Killip, providing for Stephen Humphreys as Barnsley put Rotherham to the sword. There was a good leg save in there from Jack Holmes too. That was live on Sky on Friday evening. And to finish, I have a question for you, Richard. And the question is, what do you get if you select a not entirely 100% fit keeper who's been out for 5 games, during which the man stepping in has contributed to 3 wins and a draw from those games, the last of which being a 4-1 away win at Stevenage, for a contest against a team on their own turf who got smashed 5-0 on their own turf in midweek?
Yes, I know who you're referring to. And yeah, really strange decision this, wasn't it, from the manager? But it was quite a heavy defeat, I believe the answer is.
Yes, you get a 5-0 reverse defeat. Wonderful win for Stockport, having lost to Wickham quite heavily in midweek. But yes, they battered Bolton 5-0.
I do find it strange, and I get it, obviously, in this situation. Nathan Baxter, seen as a number one, been brilliant for them, and obviously lots of rumours that potentially he'll step back up to the Championship at some point. But I just think, you know, we spoke about it a lot in recent weeks on the pod in terms of timing of bringing goalkeepers back, and actually managers creating issues for themselves at times, because, you know, certainly I'm guessing there'll be an issue there now in that obviously Luke Southwood stepped in. They had a great time. I think they rose from, was it 15th up to 6th or whatever it might have been during that period of time. So yeah, I get that obviously, you know, you see Nathan Baxter as number one, and at some point he will be then no doubt reintroduced into the team. But it just seems like, if anything, you're putting more pressure on the likes of a Baxter coming into a game like this. And similarly, what message does it give to a Luke Southwood? So was a strange decision. Did backfire, although I must say I've sort of seen the goals. There was nothing you could necessarily say, it was because of the injury. You know, Nathan Baxter, I thought, had a solid game. But again, just seemed like a strange decision. Whereas, had he played Luke Southwood in this game, no doubt they'd have lost the game anyway, given how good Stockport were on the day. And then, if anything, you can allow then a Nathan Baxter maybe to step in on the front foot. But he has now created a bit of a situation for himself. And also, just to mention Ben Killip, watched this game, thought he was excellent. Again, he stepped in for Slanina, and I think he's been excellent since he stepped in. Just really calm, some big saves in the games that he's played. And as you say, the assist as well. Just a really nice way to step in, and just very calm performances. Very, very good.
There was a first league start for Ben Hinchliffe in that game too. So Stockport did the change after losing 5-0. So it was his first league start. He did come on a few games ago, which we did discuss on the pod. He came on at half time, which was a tactical decision made by the manager, Dave Challoner. But I think when we speak of number ones and number twos and coming in and stepping in and sometimes coming in under difficult circumstances, I think for Hinchliffe, when you look at his reputation at the club, the fact that he's played, 300 plus games, I think he's broken numerous records in that time. Stockport go and lose 5-0 in midweek. In terms of coming in at a decent time, it's worked out for him really, hasn't it?
Well, that, again, it's another good example. And, you know, look, from what I've seen, it looks like Corriodai's had a very good season so far. So no doubt he'll feel a bit aggrieved. But if you are a goalkeeper, and again, look, it's easier said than done, you know, and sometimes, of course, if there's an injury, you step in when you step in, you've got to be ready. But, you know, we talk a lot about momentum and the narrative that surrounds a situation. I just think that sometimes managers don't help goalkeepers, whereas in this situation for Ben Hinchliffe, you're stepping in on the back of such a bad defeat and you are naturally stepping in with that bit of momentum. And of course, now that they get the big win, it gives everyone a bit of a lift from his point of view. Now, no doubt he'll be given a bit of a run and you're doing it with the backing of the fans. Now, as you say, he's a bit unique in that he's absolutely adored at Stockport. So I don't think there'd ever really be any negativity towards him anyway. But of course, even someone like him, it is quite nice in a way that your opportunity comes at that point and you can really step into it with momentum.
And finally, in League Two, good hands from Joe Day, Ray Clements-esque, actually, in plucking the ball. So Cheltenham drew at home to Bromley. But that's seven games on the spin now for Day in all competitions with Owen Evans being out. It's just a good, solid goalkeeper. He's there as goalkeeper coach, but stepping in as the two at the same time. Speaking of solid, Harry Burgoyne bagging his first league minutes for Morecambe. So he came on late at Harrogate for Stuart Moore. Two major saves from headers, one from Matty Fold with pretty much his first touch, then from Sam Follerin with pretty much the last touch of the game. That was a huge second win of the season for the Shrimps. Gabe breezing in for his first league start since January. If you remember, he came in last season, didn't he, for that period over Christmas and acquitted himself well at Carlisle. They made it a first win under Mike Williamson, 1-0 away at Salford, and Breeze looking very accomplished throughout, currently in for Harry Lewis. Another 1-0 win for Gillingham at home to leaders Port Vale. A big touch by Jake Turner here. They were close to possibly giving away a pen, and it could have been another pen or no pen, but he definitely got a touch when Ronan Curtis tried to round him, and a crucial touch it proved to be. And finally, Billy Crellin. So we talked about Senny Dieng being in the groove, and we've mentioned Crellin a few times since he's come in for Accrington, but I think we can now say he has officially got his mojo back. That is four wins from seven since he took the gloves. They'd not won a game prior to that, and he's now, yeah, very much looking like the goalkeeper Fleetwood hoped he might be a few years back.
Yeah, he's been excellent, and I thought he was excellent again in this game. Couple of big saves, great tip over second half. I really enjoyed the save first half where it's that one coming in the angle and you actually look at him, he just looks so calm, you know, very in control of his decisions. You know, some goalkeepers can be tempted to potentially rush out in a point like this, but holds his ground, makes it so tough for the attacking player, makes a big, big save. And as you say, he certainly very much claimed the shirt there and has momentum on his side. A massive well done to Harry Burgoyne. Obviously left Shrewsbury in the summer, went to Morecambe, been waiting for that opportunity. Stuart Moore, who's been really consistent, so it's very tough to get ahead of him. But obviously the injury to Stuart Moore came in, and I guess that's the argument again for having like a two top goalkeepers in a club, you know, because this could have been very different for Morecambe. In the end, it's a huge victory given that Carlisle won as well. But two top saves, both to his left-hand side. The first one, point blank. Second one, full stretch to his left. Big, big saves that helped ensure the victory. So really pleased for him. Someone whose game time's been limited over the last few years. So it'd be interesting to see now if he gets a chance to add to his games tally. And Joe Day, as you mentioned, just really nice to see this. Like, just really top quality goalkeeping. Both very easily could have been parries, and I think we see a lot of goalkeepers that would parry these. And again, nothing necessarily wrong with it. Get it into a good area. However, of course, if you can hold on to the ball, it sounds a bit old school now, doesn't it? But of course, if you can hold on to the ball, and I thought his handling on both of these situations was exemplary, and a very good performance from him.
And a word on the reward for David Harrington. We'll just quickly mention him of Fleetwood Town. So having his first full proper season in English football and has been called up to the Wales squad. So had represented Republic of Ireland up to under 21 level previously and did get called into a senior squad but never given a cap. But he's switched allegiance. He's been called up by Wales and is part of the the four-man goalkeeping department for the international fixtures.
Yeah, that's interesting, and it's not something that I've got too much knowledge about. It'd be interesting to know how the Irish FA dealt with that or thought about that, because it's, I suppose, never nice losing a potential prospect to one of your rival nations. But I guess if Wales have come on strong. Of course, Adam Davies is out injured for this camp, so there was that opportunity for the extra goalkeeper to come in, and a great opportunity for him. Clean Sheet Club. And we are here, we're at this time of the show, and I'm delighted to say it's not going to be me reading out Matt's ridiculousness today. And the reason for that is I actually just haven't charged my other phone, so he's not able to send me the Clean Sheet Club. So unfortunately, Matt, this is on you.
It is on me, and it's in quite odd circumstances, because as you've handed the baton over, there is a man literally looking right at me through my window. Which is a bit odd. I live in an apartment complex, and he's abseiling down, cleaning the windows as we speak. So this is quite an odd situation, because he's literally, his face is right in front of me.
Okay, let's see if you can keep your concentration, like every good goalkeeper can.
We shall start in the Premier League. Bernd Leno, tally double. Lucas Fabianski, account open. Jordan Pickford, oink oink. Jose Sarr, account open, mark two. Kuiven Kelleher, tally doubled, mark two. Andre Onana, halfway to a double. Into the Championship, Dan Backman, win some, lose some. Ian Melier, 4-6. Max O'Leary, reliant Robin. Mike Cooper, he just don't want to stop. Too much, never too much, never too much, never too much. James Trafford, Kellogg's Frosties. Into League One, Ben Killip stepped in, kept clean. Max Crocombe, clean and win number one. Arthur Okonkwo, Tony's chum. Joe Whitworth, cornflake but more. Josh Keeley, tally doubled, mark three. Ben Hinchliffe, account open, mark three. And Franco Ravazzoli, hat-trick. And into League Two, Gabriel Breeze, account opened, mark four. Jordan Wright, account open, mark five. Billy Crellin, strong run continues. David Harrington, Welsh wonder. And Jake Turner, all thrills and no spills at Jill's.
Very nice, Matthew. Very nice. And this, again, is why I think you should read it out every week. So you've done that in one take, and you've done it so seamlessly.
Would have been better had you had read it. Anyway, the table.
Yes.
So we have really two leaders, but we don't just want to name two names, so I've chucked in a few others as well. At the foot, Alex Palmer with 8-15. Above him, James Trafford and Arthur Okonkwo with 8-14. Above them, Joe Whitworth with 8-13. And then we have 2 on 9, Ian Melier, 9-15. And Michael Cooper, 9-13. What a record that is so far.
That's ridiculous, isn't it? Yeah, and they have been so strong defensively. In fact, I watched their game at the weekend, and there was literally one shot on target the whole game for either team. And obviously, Sheffield United running out 1-0 winners, but they're very, very good. Michael Cooper's done excellently, and obviously with Adam Davies there as well, they are very strong in their goalkeeping department.
Good stuff, Richard. Just to finish, we'll mention Brad Guzan, who had a very good performance for Atlanta United. They've bombed into Miami out of the MLS Cup. Quite the result there. He made some fantastic saves. 40 years old now, Brad Guzan. And given a bit of stick by Luis Suarez and a couple of the other Inter Miami players for doing absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing at all. He just seemed to try and collect the ball from the back of the net after Leo Messi had equalised. And then was bundled into the net, which was actually quite comical. Did you see this and the way that he was flailing about in the net?
I did. It's that classic one, isn't it, where they've scored. They obviously want to get the ball back quickly, and my guess is that they were expecting Brad Guzan to probably hold on to it. Like, you see it over and over, but yeah, with Luis Suarez, he's not going to necessarily wait for his opportunity to get the ball back. He's going to find a way to get it. And it was quite funny. But as you say, Brad Guzan very much had the last laugh.
Right, Richard, that's us done. Thank you.
Matthew, thank you.
This has been the Goalkeepers Union podcast. Between the sticks, keepers.
Wait.